Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Yeah, we had some people who had some coffee this morning. Yeah, good morning, everyone online. If you're watching, welcome to our mini minutes this morning. I'm Brandon, and I got a little lesson for you today. And so I want to go ahead and start off real quick with a scripture. And I'm going to start off with the scripture from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, okay? I'm going to be talking about fear today. So this scripture says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not. Don't be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So this particular portion of scripture is Moses talking to the children of Israel right before they start going in to the land to claim it. Now, Moses was not able to go in, but he was just telling the children of Israel, it's time for you to go in and claim the land that God is giving you. And this is what he said. He said, don't be afraid. Don't fear them. Because God is with you. And God will not fail you or forsake you. So everybody, me, all the kids, all of you out there, everyone in here, we all have something that God wants us to do. We all have a plan that God has, a will that God has for our lives. And God wants us to do his will. So, kids, come here. Listen, I got things for you here, okay? I got specific things, right? Everyone see this? This is yours. Let's see. This one's yours. Here you go. Okay. So you all have your marching orders, right? You all have your plans, right? So listen, we all have something we need to do, right? We all have a plan and a purpose for our lives. And right now, we're going to start. No, you don't need to open it. It doesn't matter if you open it up or not. But so we begin our walks with God, and we begin walking and trying to, come on, let's walk, guys. Let's try to do the things that God's trying to tell us to do. Let's try to do it, because we want to accomplish it, right? We want to do it, right? Whoa, oh, goodness. The enemy's come around and scared us. He's trying, oh, my goodness. Where are you going? No, come back. Come back. Whoa, she's quick. No, come down. No. Hey, come back. Oh, boy. Oh, goodness. Wow. So, you know what's crazy about what just happened? Is that the enemy tried to scare us and tried to stop us from what we're trying to accomplish for God. Right? And that's what the enemy tries to do. The enemy does not want us to fulfill the purpose that God has in our lives. And one of the main ways that he tries to stop us is through fear. Is through fear. See, this enemy, my goodness. So there's two things that we as people, as we as humans, deal with fear. And not trying to go too deep in it, but it's called fight or flight, right? So when we get scared, we have two options. We could either stand our ground and try to fight back against it, or we get so scared that we just run away. And so you saw one that, hey, God gave her a plan. God gave her a will. And when the enemy came in, she got scared. And you know what? She just ran away. She just ran away. And that's sometimes we do that. It's not right. So, but that's the flight reaction. We run away from the plan that God has for us because we're scared of what the enemy might do to us or how whoa, buddy. But how do we fight against that? What do we do? How do we stand up against the enemy? Well, I have a specific way, and it may not be the There's a bunch of different ways that you can do it. But the best way for you to do it is to find your promise from God and stand upon your promise. God has given us, God, the Bible is full of great, precious promises that God gives us. And when you read it, God just speaks and just gives us promises. Let's see. What did God give you? Let's see. He gave you Psalms 34 and 4. Let's see what that says. It says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Oh, man. How amazing is it that we have a God that hears us, a God that listens, and if we're afraid, he can deliver us from those things. That's an awesome promise that you can hold on to. And you know what? All of a sudden, I feel stronger. Oh, what about you? What promise did God give you? Oh, goodness, let's see. He gave you Joshua 1 and 9. Oh, he said, have I not commanded you? Be strong. Have good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Oh, man. Whew. Man, I feel that. I feel God just strengthening me. You feel it? No, you don't feel it yet? Oh, man. Okay. Well, what about you? What did God give you? Man, these promises are awesome. Isaiah 41 and 10 says, fear not. I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, each one of these scriptures references fear specifically. But there are a lot of times when the enemy doesn't just bring fear. He tries to make us upset and angry. There's so many things that the enemy tries to do. He just pokes at us and pushes us and tries to knock us down. And you know what? The Bible is full of things that you can use against the enemy. Oh, my goodness. But you know what? Who really does the fighting here? Does anybody know? The enemy's trying to fight us, but do we really try to fight? Who does the fighting for us? God, Jesus. It's not by our might. It's not by our strength, but it's by his spirit. And what God wants us to do, he wants us to stand firm on his word and on his promises. And when the enemy comes in, You know what the Bible tells us that God does? You know what the Bible tells us? When we stand, when we stand, hold on, I'll be with you in a second, buddy. For the enemy keeps trying to poke me, and he keeps trying to prod me, and he keeps trying to scare me and have me run away. When I get that word out and I start praying the promises, and I start believing the promises, and I start standing on God's promises. Woo! You know what the Spirit of God does? He goes, listen, I still have my plan for you. I still have my promises for you. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take care of this guy real quick. You come here. Woo! You need some too, buddy? You want some too? Woo! Yes. All right, guys, come on. Listen, that was just momentary. He's down. He's out for the count. So come on, let's go. Woo! Man, I feel pumped. I feel energized. You guys feeling it too? You guys want to get a couple licks in too? He's down for the count. It's a good chance. No, don't do that to your dad. So the thing about it is, the enemy tries to take us and stop us. He tries to get us to freeze and to run away from the will that he has for us. And he tries to intimidate us. And he tries to knock us down. And he tries to just do whatever he can. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that he's no match. He's no match for our God. He tried once already, and he already got cast out of heaven. And for us, when he comes against us, the Bible tells us, stand firm and fight. Fight the good fight. It's scary sometimes. And he uses some really, really, really nasty tactics. He tries to poke, he tries to push, he tries to knock you down. But as long as we have the promises of God, as long as we have his promises, what can man do to us when God is for us? Who can be against us? Who can stop what God has for us when we stand firm on his word? Amen? So for all of us here today, if we're struggling, if we find ourselves in a state of fear, or we don't know what's going on. I mean, it's been a crazy year, right? And there's been a lot of confusion and chaos and a lot of things that just have been uncertain for us, for our families, for our friends, our loved ones. If we find ourselves in that point today, what do? Take a deep dive into the Word of God. Find a promise that applies to you and your circumstance. And when you find it, hold on to it and believe and stand and pray and believe God that he's going to do great things in your life and in the lives of people around you. So thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful opportunity to be in your presence, God. Lord, and I pray, God, for those that are here this morning, those that may be watching online, God, there's no limit to your spirit and where it can be and where it can go, God. And Lord, I know that, God, there is no limit to your capabilities, God. There is no limit to your resources, God. There is no limit to your ability, God. And Lord, I pray today, God, that if for those that may find themselves in a state of fear or panic or just turmoil, God, that you would speak to them, God, both through your spirit, God, and through your word, God, and help them, God, and help them find a promise, God, that you want to give them, God, so that they can stand firm on it, God, and that they can fight against the enemy, Lord Jesus. I believe you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all so much for bearing through my tirade. For those of you online and those of you here, I appreciate you joining us today, and we'll see you in a few minutes for the start of our regular service. Amen.
Now there's freedom in your name. You can't. Our God who reigns, we praise your name. Praise to the only living God. Praise to the holy faithful one.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We praise your name.
There is freedom
to dance in your presence. Freedom to walk.
Holy,
holy, Father, you are holy. There is no one else like you.
You are faithful, yes, you are
faithful, faithful. Father, you are faithful. We have put our trust in you. Our God who reigns, we praise your name. Praise to the only living God. Praise to the holy faithful one.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We praise your name. There is freedom to dance in your presence. Freedom to walk. Hallelujah, we praise your name. There is freedom to dance in your presence, freedom to walk in liberty. Hallelujah, we praise your name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Calvary Gospel Church on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Amen. We had a tremendous Sunday school mini minute this morning with Brother Brandon Matt, and we learned how to overcome fear and how to battle it with the Word of God. Amen. Anybody have that experience? Amen. It's good to be in God's house. We want to welcome all of our guests. If you're here in person, hopefully you got a connection card. And if you didn't receive one, you can get one at the kiosk in the vestibule. We just want to let you know how glad we are that you're here with us today. And if you're with us online, you can connect with us on the Bitly app, Bitly connection there at CGC Guest. Connect in person or at the kiosk as well. And we're glad that you're with us. Hopefully you will give us an opportunity to let you know how much we appreciate that. At this time, we do have a Save Our Children, almost said Chiefs for Christ, Save Our Children offering video. You may be seated.
And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 4.
Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?
Let the words of my mouth
and the meditation of my heart
be acceptable in thy sight,
O Lord, my strength and my
Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
And with his stripes
for you.
Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other.
For there is none other name under heaven
given among men whereby we must be saved.
Scripture memory, memorizing scripture, listening to kids quote is definitely on my top 10 list of things that I love to do. There is nothing like hearing the spoken, pure word of God for an encouragement. And Bible quizzing, junior Bible quizzing, falls under the umbrella of Save Our Children. And as you may or may not know, Calvary Gospel Church has had a large presence in junior Bible quizzing at the state level, but also at the national level. So I'm wondering if you could stand, if you have had any involvement whatsoever over your lifetime in junior Bible quizzing, whether you've been a quizzer, a coach, a driver, whatever it is. So I think it's pretty awesome. Let's give these kids a hand, these adults a hand. It's a pretty incredible thing. So junior Bible quizzing in a pandemic is a little bit more difficult, but we had one junior Bible quizzer this year that stuck with it. He's working hard. Luke, if you can come down, he's going to quote us a couple scriptures. He has memorized the verses. He's going to tournaments. He's performing really well, and that's awesome. I'm really proud of you. Tell us what you're going to quote today, and then quote, but slowly.
Mark 1:10-15, and straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there was a cloud that And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. And after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time was fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent, and believe the gospel.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you, Luke. So he is going to compete. He's carrying on and memorizing 600 million scriptures, and away they go. But we have another group of kids in Calvary Gospel Church who are also learning scriptures, but just not 300 at a time. So I thought it would be really cool for Sophie to come up here. We do different challenges. We learned the love verses for Valentine's Day. Right now we are working on Psalm 8. And Sophie is going to quote a different verse. What are you going to quote, Sophie?
Psalms 34:4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Excellent. And that's actually Philippians 4:8, right? Yeah, I think so too. So our district ladies ministry director, her name is Barbara Hildebrand, and she actually said one time that memorizing scripture is the best gift you can give yourself because it sticks with you. You don't lose it. It doesn't wear out. It's with you forever. I believe that, and I will also add to that that when you're a young person, you may not even realize the value of the gift that you're giving yourself because those verses stick with you no matter what path you take in life, no matter where you decide to go, no matter where life takes you. When you are down and out, those scriptures will come to mind. God will bring them to your mind to encourage you in a tough time. So the bottom line is, give to Sheaves for Christ and give our kids the gift of memorizing scripture. Thank you very much.
Amen. And so as we kick off our Save Our Children's offering, we want to just remind you of some of the giving options that you have. If you're here in person, of course, you can drop off your offering in the plexiglass box out on the kiosk. But then there are also other options. You can give online at calvarygospelchurch.org. You can send in your gift by snail mail if you wish, or if you can, you can text to give. The number is there on the screen. Yep. But if you do text, please make sure that you designate, especially if you want to give to Save Our Children, you want to put SOC on there, or if you're giving to tithes or offering. But you, it's important that you designate your funds so that the app can work appropriately, so that the text message can work appropriately. Amen. One other thing. You are obviously the people who remembered to set your clock ahead. So be nice to those who come in as you're leaving this morning. Yeah, but that also lets us know that spring is here. I know it's not official yet, but it will be in a week. And also that means that Easter Sunday is on its way, April 4th, 3 weeks away. And if you're on Facebook, we want to encourage you to share that event, to invite someone. Our theme title for this year is Never Lost. Do you know someone who has never lost? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, has never lost, and that will be the theme for Easter Sunday this year. Please invite someone online, invite someone in person. We're looking forward to that. If you would, please stand at this time. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. If you have a need, please just signify by the raising of your hand if you want to share it with someone near to you. The Bible says where two or three agree in His name that He will do it. So let's agree together in Jesus' name. Let's pray for this service. Let's pray for our state, our nation. We are in a time of flux and change in our world, and more than ever, the people of God need to be a light to a lost and dying generation. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for your presence in this place, Lord, and in our hearts and our minds, more than any physical location. We thank you, God, that you never leave us and you never forsake us. I pray, oh God, for these needs that are present here today. There are those that, who are struggling physically and emotionally, spiritually, oh God. I pray for the strength of the Almighty God to be present and to be manifest, oh God. And for those who are not here, for whom we pray, oh God, let your Spirit, even in this moment, touch their hearts and minds and strengthen them. Bring the Word of God to them, to their remembrance. In Jesus' name, we pray for this service that we may receive from you, Lord, what you have in store for us, that your anointing will flow through our pastor, that the Word of God will be manifest and revealed in our hearts and in our minds. We pray for this nation, for this state. We pray, oh God, for our families and those that are in our oikos, oh God, that you would anoint us to be a light in this present age, oh God, that the millions, the many millions of souls that need to know you, O God, that surround us in this nation can come to know this saving truth and may know the Savior who died for them. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's worship the Lord together.
That was slain, he's alive. Forever he shall reign, he's alive. He crucified on Calvary, but he rose in victory.
He's alive.
He's alive. Crucified on Calvary, but he rose in victory.
He's alive.
He's alive.
He's alive.
He's alive. He's alive. With all power in his hand.
Jesus is alive.
He's alive.
He's alive.
He's alive.
He's alive.
With all power. Was slain, he's alive.
Forever he shall reign,
he's alive.
Oh, oh, oh.
They crucified him on Calvary, but he rose in victory.
All power in his hand.
He's alive.
He's alive.
I've got a fire burning, burning inside of me. I've got a fire, I've got a fire burning, burning inside of me. His presence is my passion. When you capture my gaze, you set me ablaze with your
fire. Fire, ever burning, all consuming fire.
your throne is like fire. Shut up in my bones, you're the one, the one that I desire. You're the all-consuming fire in your presence. When I'm at your throne, it's like fire. Shut up in my bones, you're the one that I desire. You're the all-consuming fire in your presence. When I'm at your throne, it's like fire. Shut up in my bones, you're the one. The one that I desire, you're the all-consuming fire in your presence. When I'm at your throne, it's like fire. Shut up in my bones, you're the one that I desire, you're the all-consuming fire in your presence. When I'm at your throne, it's like fire. Shut up in my bones, you're the one that I desire, you're the all-consuming fire. Consuming fire in your presence. When I'm at your throne, it's like fire. Shut up in my bones, you're the one that I desire. You're the all-consuming fire, fire.
Lord, church, this is just a, I want to use it, yeah, it's just a, such a powerful, did I come up too early? Okay, such a powerful, powerful spirit in the house this morning. Thank you for the worship. I like what I feel. You could go ahead and open up your Bibles this morning. We're going to start reading from Matthew chapter 4. We started on Wednesday evening. We talked about reconnecting and connecting. We talked about connection groups, and we're going to have more about this as the month progresses. Brother Jerry Simmons is going to be introducing us to a bit more details in this endeavor ministry, outreach ministry. We're looking to start here. But we're gonna do some basics this morning. And Jesus used to say this. This was kind of, or the disciples would say this. We read it in many of the Gospels. They would sit around and they would say, Lord, teach us. Teach us. So I just want to, this morning, we're going to talk about, Lord, teach us how to fish. A passion for fishing. And we're going to start reading in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 22 in the NIV. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and Peter. There's Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said. And I will send you out to fish for people. Immediately, that's like right now, they left their nets and followed him. Now, I've fished a fair amount in my life, and if the fish are biting and someone comes up and says it's time for lunch, it's time to come home, it's time for this or for that, if the fish are biting, you'd be hard-pressed to get me to do anything immediately other than cast another throw out into the water. But there was something about Jesus and how he worded it, how he put it, what they felt, that immediately they left it all. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. You can be seated this morning. As we read this passage of Scripture, it's been at 6 months or so since Jesus really started his ministry and entered into the scene from his baptism. From the other Gospels, we know that Jesus had been in Judea. He had been ministering there all up and down the shores of Galilee, and he had was beginning to make quite a name for himself and his cleansing of the temple. And it's during this period that John the Baptist and Jesus' ministries overlapped. So John, having prophesied that I must decrease and he must increase, Jesus begins by calling his disciples. And he begins the task of turning them into fishers of men. Jesus called this process discipleship. We typically call it witnessing. But Jesus, immediately when he first met those men, he called them into discipleship. I believe that everyone who has been saved should have a heart's desire, as Jesus Christ did, to see other people saved. I believe that hidden away in the heart of every born-again believer, it should be in the DNA of every Christian, a desire to make disciples, to see lost people coming into the kingdom of God through Bible salvation. Yet, oftentimes, we shrink back from sharing that said salvation, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We shrink back because of fear. We shrink back because we have insecurities and we struggle with the feeling of inadequacy, and yet somehow we struggle with where are we going to talk to people and how am I going to talk to someone. I'm afraid today that many Christians even wonder if being a fisher of men is any of their responsibility. I believe the church, to a degree, has become spoiled as we hire preachers and church staff to do our fishing. But you see, Jesus made this very clear in his word that anyone and everyone who follows after him, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to learn how to fish. It's not just the pastor's or the preacher's task. It is a task that he gave to all men in the church. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach." And if you're born again by the grace of God, you are part of that church. As we read in our opening passage, Jesus tells us if we follow after him, he will make us fishers of men. If we follow after him, we can ask that statement, or we can make that statement, "Lord, teach us. Lord, teach me how to fish for men." Jesus invites us. He says, "Follow me." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus says, "and I will make you fishers of men." Now, Peter and Andrew, James and John, by vocation, they were fishermen. History tells us that. We read that many times in the scripture. And understand, the Sea of Galilee supported a thriving fishing industry. There were at least 16 major ports with hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of small fishing boats scattered all up and down the shoreline. And all indications would tell us that Andrew and Simon ran a very successful business in partnership with James and John and their father Zebedee. And then one day Jesus came calling. They were all busy in ordinary life details, the ordinary things that we do every day that keep us in business. It's what they were comfortable with. Perhaps Jesus today is calling and tugging on your heart to say, drop what you are doing immediately and follow me. I doubt they ever dreamed of leaving that family business, as it was tradition in that time. If you were born a fisherman, more than likely you were going to die a fisherman. If you were born a carpenter, more than likely you were going to die a carpenter. It was a place of security. It was a secure place. People needed to eat. I don't know if Friday night fish fries, I don't believe, were popular in the Bible at that point in time, but people loved fish. People would go down to the market. Every morning, the fresh catch would come in, and there would be Simon and Andrew and John and James, and they would be selling their fish. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, their life was entirely turned upside down when Jesus stepped in to their life. Jesus beckoned them to follow him. And when he beckoned them, suddenly, I mean like instantly, the Bible says immediately their business was not so terribly important anymore. Jesus called to them to come after him, and straightway, if you look at the word straightway, it means right now, immediately they went after him. Jesus reminds us all the times of this very difficult command. Sometimes the Lord looks at us and calls us and says, I need you to go fishing immediately. We find these words in Luke chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And if anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. See, we have to understand this morning that Jesus invites all of us into a relationship with him. In our last series, we understood the fact that we are soul, mind, spirit, and flesh. And everyone here today has been born of the flesh, but we also must be born of the Spirit. This was the late night discussion that Jesus had with Nicodemus. When he came to Jesus at night, he says, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform these miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. And Jesus declared in his reply, he says, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Nicodemus asked the question, how can a man be born when he is old? He didn't understand. Can he come into his mother's womb a second time? And Jesus answers again. He says, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. We move fast forward into Acts chapter 2, and We read on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood with the 11 disciples and he preached the very same thing that Jesus was trying to explain to Nicodemus, that there's only one way to enter into the kingdom of God, and it takes place only when you are supernaturally regenerated. That's what we feel here this morning, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, if you've not been born into the kingdom of God, Jesus invites you, and his Spirit is pleading with you immediately, straightway, to follow after the Savior. As John the Baptist declared in John 1, verse 29, John sees Jesus and he explains, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There's nothing in this world that can eradicate the sin of humanity except for the blood of Jesus Christ. So Jesus instructs us. He tells us, he says, I will make you become fishers of men. Come follow me. Come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and followed him. You see, Jesus calls us into fellowship with himself for any number of reasons. He calls us into fellowship so that we might learn his will. He calls us into fellowship so we might learn his way. I've said this many times. Everything about Jesus Christ is relationship. It's fellowship. He calls us into fellowship that we might learn his word. And he calls us into fellowship so that we might learn of his work. It's very interesting that many of the principles of fishing are pretty much the same as the principles of fishing for people. You see, a fishing for fish requires a passion for fish. What you see spread out in front of you is a smorgasbord, somewhat of a sample of Pastor Roy's past life and his passion for fishing. I haven't fished in a number of years. From the dust, you can tell. If you get up here, there's a lot of dust on some of this. It's been in my garage for 7-8 years now since I've been fishing. But you see, if you don't like to fish, chances are you won't like fishing. And if you don't love the lost, chances are you won't fish for them either. And as you look at all of this stuff up here and you wonder, what is all of this stuff? You have to understand something about fishing, that fishing for fish requires you to have the right equipment. All of the stuff that the avid fisherman has, it exists for one reason and one reason only. And that is to get that fish that's in the water onto a hook that's attached to a pole so you can get it into your boat or onto the bank. That is the reason why all of this stuff is up here. Because every one of these lures is a different attractant to fish. Fishing has gone high tech from when I first learned how to fish, Brother Seidel. When my dad used to take us, I'm glad to see Bishop here today. I want to tell you that the reason that Bishop has the patience and the perseverance that he has in his old age is because he took 3 young boys fishing frequently. We were in Canada fishing, and my dad and I had the opportunity to fish together. And my dad hadn't fished in a while. It was obvious because we spent a lot of time getting them out of trees. I remember him looking at me saying, son, just be patient with me. How many times did I get your bobber or your hook out of a tree I said, "Dad, I understand that, Dad, but that was from about 7 years old until 18. You're doing this all in just a few days." So you have to understand something. Fishing. I remember when I first started fishing, some of you may remember, we had the old bobbers. I got a tote up here somewhere that's got bobbers in it. And you see those old bobbers. Here we go. These are all different kinds of bobbers. Some people call them corks. They used to be made out of cork. You can get the little round ones like this, the smaller ones for your smaller fish. Then you got the needle ones like this that bob up and down. Some of them now even have little lights in them so you can fish at night. And you can see where they are. And we had the old closed-faced Zebco 202. How many of you remember that? The old fiberglass pole and the Zebco 202. Now, this isn't a Zebco. I couldn't find one. But this is an old Shakespeare enclosed spooled reel. Kind of something that's old-fashioned. Something the kids used a lot because of the newfangled ones. You could make a mess out of them. But you see, you can spend a lot of money on the stuff that you need to go fishing. Now, remember when I hadn't fished in years, and Brother Jim Rivest invited me to go fishing to Canada. And I'd never been to Canada fishing. I'd heard stories about fishing in Canada. You got to go to Canada fishing because, like every cast, you catch a whopper. And I was used to going to Lake Mendota or Lake Monona on Monona Bay with Norman Puckett when we were younger. And my dad would take us over by the old boat sheds and we'd fish for crappie and we'd go through a bucket of worms in 30 minutes because that's just how kids fish. And I wasn't used to catching anything bigger than maybe a 14 or 16 inch bass. And here we're going to Canada, and I get out my old fishing pole, and Brother Rivest just kind of looks at it and says, "No, that's not going to work, Roy. We're going to have to go to Gander Mountain." Now, Brother Ward Meyer works over at Gander Mountain, or worked over there at the time. And as my witness, everything you see up here, Jim Rivest put into my cart and says, "You're going to need this for fishing." I said, "I've never seen some of these lures. I don't know what they do." And he said, "Trust me. You'll know when you get there how to use them. You'll figure it out." So I have a whole box of rattle traps. 99% of them have never been in the water. But you see, I found out when they go through the water, they rattle. And I found out that this particular red rattle trap is especially wicked in Lower Sawbill in Canada, a lake that we fish in for northern. And they love, you see, I used to think that who would want to eat a red fish? Because I got yellow ones. I mean, how many people see fish this color? And I begin to realize as I learn how to fish that each lure is designed for a specific purpose. Some of these lures do nothing but make big fish like that angry. They don't want to eat it. They want to kill it. They're going to swat at it with their mouth. And when they swat at it, if you're a good fisherman, you can feel that. And you can set the hook and you can reel it into your boat. So I look at all of this stuff. I got enough stuff up here that I could fish for five lifetimes. Look at all of these. This panfish kit, all kinds of little gummy worm looking things in here. Crappies just love these things. They eat them up. I tried one once just to see what it was like, and it wasn't very good. That's what happens when you mix your snacks in with your fishing lures. But you have all of this stuff. I begin to think about this and how this applies spiritually. You didn't think you were going to get out of here just by a fishing story or two. All the stuff that we as Christians own All of that equipment that we have is what we use or we need to use to get the gospel to the lost. You see, this is all the stuff we use to go fishing after this type of fish. But if we were to take all of our stuff and accumulate it together, all of the vehicles in the parking lot, Jesus says, I want you to use that to go fishing. All of the cars, our homes, God wants us to use our homes to go fishing. All the things that we have to entertain people, God wants us to use all of that to go fishing. God says, I gave you a job. And you say, Lord, it's such a blessing. I make more money than I have ever made. I'm thankful, Lord. Thank you. God says, I didn't give you that job just so you could make a lot of money. I gave you that job so you can win a lot of people. But for some reason, when it comes to our own stuff, there's a mental, some sort of a blank in our minds or in our hearts that we have a real appetite for this kind of fish, but not so much of an appetite for that kind of fish. You see, we also have to understand there's lots of different kinds of fish if we're going to go fishing. You have to have a knowledge. I learned this. This was the biggest learning curve for me in the first year I went to Canada. I learned literally how to fish. Before, I thought it was just about putting a bobber, a worm on a bobber, and throwing it in the water, or putting one of those red and white daredevils and see how far you could throw it out there. Because they'll go a long way. A long way. And that's what I used to think. It was all about fishing. But I found out that every fish has different habits. Every fish has different habitats. I found out that some fish like deep, clear water. Some fish like fast-moving streams. Some fish like to hang out in the shallow backwaters. And as I went to Canada and was exposed to all of these different types of fish and all these different types of fishing habitats, I found out that if I want to catch a northern where I need to go to catch a northern, even when the water temperature, certain temperatures, they're at different places. The bass are at different places. The crappies are at different places. The lake trout, you won't find a lake trout in a shallow stream somewhere. They're 100 feet deep or deeper in the lake. They like the deep water. You got to work to get a lake trout up from 120 feet of water. You got to fight on your hands. And I found out that fish are a lot like people. Did you know that? Some people are really deep. They're lost, but they're deep. There's a lot to them. If you want to get them into your boat, you got to work. You got all kinds of lures you can put on to get a lake trout. I've got lures in here that are just designed to go down 100, 120 feet deep to get those lake trout up off the bottom of the lake. You see, you don't catch those. You don't use those lures for anything but lake trout because that's what they're designed for. But you have lures in here that they're top water. The bass love the top water. You got folks that are always in the weeds. They're always hung up on something. Some of us live in weeds too. We always get hung up. We always got something we're always hung up on. Some of us, we like that fast moving. Some people are so fast paced. It's go, 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 go all the time. Jesus, when you fish for people, just like fishing for fish, if you're going to win them, you need to know their habitat and you need to know their habits. I want to pause here at this time because I've got more to this lesson and we're going to finish this up. Excuse me, Brother Jerry, on Wednesday evening. I want to flop Wednesdays with you, okay? Because I don't want to rush through this. As our musicians can come this morning. Last year, I've been working on this project in my backyard. Many of you have been. My wife calls it our mud hole. And it was for a number of years. It was just a big, deep mud hole that got bigger and deeper every year. Last April, just about this time, Marvin came over with a few guys. We finally got that pond. We got the liner in the year before in 2019. A bunch of you men came over to my house and helped me with that. Last April, we got the pond all framed up with all the stones. Brother Dave Shroud, we hauled hundreds of tons of stone. Big, huge. Some of them were 6,000-8,000 pounds apiece. Putting them all in. Next week, I'll bring that and show you a picture of it. It's just some of you families came over and your kids swam in it this year. But one thing I did is I've always wanted to have koi. I love fish. So I had some fish in a smaller pond, and they were just like goldfish, and bought some koi. My grandkids went with me, and we picked out some koi and some fancy goldfish, some bigger goldfish. One thing I found out over the season, that every one of those fish, it's so silly, because you'd think a goldfish having a personality, but every one of those fish were different. I had some fish that by the end of the season I could take my hand and as soon as I would walk up to the edge of the pond, they would come. I'd hold my hand out and they'd come right up to my hand. They'd turn their little body sideways and they would suck that food right off of my hand. If I wanted to get adventuresome and I took some of you older boys that came over, we'd take the fish, would put it in our hands and would jump into the pond and sink to the bottom, and then you'd slowly open your hand up and those fish would come and they'd take that food right out of your hand. I learned that there's a whole lot more to fishing and fish than just a northern pike and a walleye. Every fish is different. Every fish has its own personality. Every fish likes its own little hideout. And when Jesus called us to be fishers of men, he used an analogy. The disciples, they used nets. I've never fished with a fishing net before. I have a net up here that you actually, if you catch a fish, I had to get one of those nets because it's a fancy net. Because I'd always get tangled up in everything. So this one is pretty fancy here. Then you don't get tangled up so bad. But Jesus talked about fishing for men, casting your nets into the water. I don't know what it's like to fish with nets, but I know what it's like. Very first trip to Canada, I caught that big northern right over Brother Jeffrey's head. 42 inches long, 20 pounds. Quite a trophy fish for your first time to Canada. I was proud of that fish. Brother Ricky Wells netted that fish, got it in the boat. We were fishing together, Ricky. Remember that? But you see, as much of an incredible experience that was, it pales nothing in comparison to what Jesus meant when he says, I want you to go fishing today, guys. He's talking about fishing not for fish, but for souls. So he's calling us as we enter into a new season of evangelism, a new season of connecting with people. I want you to remember something, that as many lures are on this table, and different sizes and shapes and colors, there are people out there. And God has equipped us with everything we need to reach them. So if we could stand to our feet this morning. Maybe you're here and you've never committed to the Lord. He is calling you this morning. Maybe you've never spoken in tongues. Maybe you've never been baptized, never repented of your sins. We can't get to heaven without it. It's what Jesus was trying to tell Nicodemus that night. Except a man be born of the water and the Spirit. He cannot. Cannot. It's just cannot. He can't. Can't make it, Nicodemus, without the water and the Spirit. Sometimes, as I said, we're just hung up in weeds, the weeds of life. Sometimes we're in shallow water and we get ourselves in trouble, and God is calling us, but he's also calling us to reach out. He said, I want you to start fishing for men. I want you to take that house and turn it into a place of security. Turn it into a place where people could come. We had a friend come over to our house this past winter. Hadn't seen him in a while. And I stepped out of the room to go to the bathroom and told my wife, he says, I really love coming over here because I feel so much peace in your home. I think he was trying to tell my wife, your home is a beautiful home. It's very peaceful. But my wife told me that. I'm like, no, he's feeling the Spirit of the Lord. He's feeling the prayers of that I pray for him and his wife, and that Brother Hicks prays, and Brother Jim Rivas prays, and Carl Grant, and Glenn Rossing. They're all praying for these folks. They're on our oikos. It's on my piece of paper that Brother Jerry gave us. So as we open up this altar this morning, it's a commitment time. You see, if I want to have all of this fishing stuff, the bottom line is I need to be committed to it. If I want to make the investment, I need to be committed to it. And Jesus has made an investment. He's invested in you and I with his blood. The only way the world is going to get saved is if we reach them. It's not going to happen any other way. And it's just one lure, one fish. I was talking to Brother Rivest, and if you want to catch a muskie, you say, Brother, I've been witnessing to this man for years and nothing. The average muskie takes 10,000 casts with a pole. A big old musky lure. You got to throw that thing in average 10,000 times before you catch one musky. Yet, people spend thousands upon thousands of dollars to go musky fishing. Some fish are hard to catch. But if you're persistent, if you don't quit, we don't give up, we'll get them in the boat. Some of you took that many casts to get in the boat. So as our worship team begins to sing, I want to open up this altar this morning. I'm on it, church. Ready to go fishing? Ready to put your poles in the water? Ready to get the smell of fish on your hands? Smell of fish in your boat, your car, in your home?
I want to know you more. I want.
Talk about how fishing ties in with our connection groups we were talking about last Wednesday. So thank you so very much for coming out this morning. God bless you. If you're a guest of ours, it's just an honor to have you here. And if there's anything we can do, if you need anything, just feel free to give us a call here at the church or stop by. But remember, church, I don't have it with me because I couldn't find it, but we had a brother that, before he passed, came to our church, and his name was Deloitte McCoy. Some of you may remember Brother Deloitte. He loved the fish. He brought me one of those fishing poles that collapses down and fits in your glove box of your car. It's quite the unique little gadget. I said, "What's this for, Deloitte?" He says, "Because you never know when you're going to want to go fishing." So he gave me a little tackle box and a little collapsible fishing pole to put in my glove box. He says, "Next time you feel a hankering, Pastor, just pull over. Think of me and go fishing." Church, you never know when the opportunity is going to arise that you're going to have to go fishing. Carry it with you. God bless you all. Thank you so much to our worship team. Such a powerful, I don't know if you're in charge this morning, sister, brother. We just keep going down. Bishop. No. Did a great job. Thank you so very much. God bless you. And we will see you here Wednesday evening.